Hey everybody, welcome to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm your host, Brenton Bickerstaff, and this week on the show we have an interview with Carol Chapman. Carol Chapman is an author, an inspirational speaker, independent filmmaker, a nature photographer, and the CEO of the publishing company Sun Topaz. She specializes in New Age subjects, including spiritual awakening, dreams, reincarnation, nature spirits, Atlantis, Yucatan, ancient mysteries, law of attraction, and the power of prayer. As a keynote speaker at weekend spiritual retreats, her seminars are not only informative and transformational, but also fun and entertaining, with interactive workshops and visual aids. Her articles have been published in several spiritual magazines, including Venture Inward, Alternative Perceptions, Dream Network, Fate Magazine, and The Open Road. Her books include When We Were Gods, Arrival of the Gods in Egypt, and Have Your Heart's Desires. And that is the first book in a new spiritual awakening series that Carol's currently working on. She is a feature presenter at the upcoming ARE Annual New Year's Conference. This is entitled Interpreting Signs Along Your Way, Tools for Understanding, Guidance, and Discovery. This runs from December 29th through the 31st here in Virginia Beach. Other upcoming speaking events for Carol include November 16th, that is in Charlottesville, Virginia, and she will be talking on Atlantis and its colonies in Egypt and the Yucatan. And then on January 23rd, 2014, in the Villages, Florida, Carol will be talking on Secrets of a Psychic. You can learn more at carolchapmanlive.com. That's CarolChapmanLive.com. I hope you guys enjoy my interview with Carol Chapman. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show today, Carol. I appreciate it.
Hey, Brent, it's wonderful. I'm so happy I can be talking to somebody about my favorite topic.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I'd like to start with an intro question of how did you actually get introduced to the Edgar Cayce material?
Oh, this is an interesting story because it's almost as if it was meant to be. It was years ago, I was 17, a pretty wild young thing, and I lived in a small town, and I absolutely did not get along with my mother, so I had to leave home and go to a big city, which was Toronto. I'm from Canada, and in those days, there was no internet, no nothing, so how would I ever have heard of Edgar Cayce in a small town? But here I am, compelled to run away to Toronto. So I get a job, and all of that is fine, but it bothers me so much that my mother and I don't get along. And I talk with a friend one night. I'm just so upset that night. I go to bed crying. And that night, I dream that I am in France. And it's about 1500s. I'm in a long gown. And I have this mother-in-law, and she and I hate each other's guts. And I wake up, and I hear God say, "Isn't it about time you forgave her?"
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, my God, reincarnation.
Wow.
But in those days, to talk about reincarnation meant you were some kind of heathen.
Right.
So I was like, I don't know what to do with this. I can't even talk to anybody about it. So then again, how do these things happen? I'm on my way to work, and for some strange reason, I don't go the usual route on the subway. I take something else. I come out, and there is a poster on street level with a big sign, reincarnation, and it's got a picture of Edgar Cayce.
And oh, wow.
And it says Hugh Lynn is going to be speaking. And I'm like, uh-oh, I've missed it. It was late, but they had a contact number. And just like that, 17, I'm in a Search for God study group. And it was wonderful. And I've been in the Search for God study group ever since, off and on.
Lucky you. You got in at such an early age. That's rare.
It was marvelous. And I noticed you, I think, had started at a very early age.
Yeah.
And I started learning about dreams and daily meditations, and it was really wonderful. Yeah, and I think it was especially wonderful because I'm of Ukrainian and Russian extraction, and I had grown up with a grandmother that we interpreted dreams at home. We read tea leaves, and I sort of didn't have a way of assimilating into the greater culture because we were quite a bit different. Here, for me, this stuff that's normally odd for many people was my connection with the greater world.
What about the Edgar Casey material was maybe something that you really clicked with?
Certainly the dreams, mm-hmm. the dream interpretation. And when my grandmother would interpret dreams that she of course spoke mainly Ukrainian, and she had an old Ukrainian dream book that she would bring out. So we would talk about that. But dreams, that I was learning how to interpret dreams, was in an entirely different way. It had to do from my inner self, from my own symbols. So I kept a symbol page, I kept a dream journal, and then we actually discussed dreams, and we discussed it again in a different way. It wasn't that the book says this is what it means. It was that, what does it mean from your inner self?
Right.
So that was thrilling.
Yeah. I think that's one of the hallmarks of the Casey material is, rather than having an outside source be a dream interpreter for you, it really pushes for you to become your own dream interpreter, which is very important.
Yes, and it's thrilling.
And I understand you've gotten a chance to write some books along your journey. And what inspired you to write and finish your books?
Well, interestingly enough, this was something, again, that began to happen in my life. And speaking about dreams, the first thing that happened, by now I'm meditating regularly, I have an affirmation, and at this time my affirmation had to do with not my will, but thy will.
Right.
And I had a dream. I was a single mom. By now I'd been married, I had three kids, I'm a single mom, and of course I'm looking for a relationship. I'm looking for a new marriage. And I've been single maybe 8 years, and I have this dream about a man, a total stranger. And I thought, gosh, he was awfully handsome, and I thought he was really special. And I thought, in fact, I had just been going with a very rich multimillionaire who had wanted me to marry him, and I had turned him down. Which wasn't easy.
Right.
A mom with three kids and all that. But there wasn't the love that I wanted. There wasn't the connection. And so I thought the dream just meant, you know, there are many fish in the sea. You've made the right decision, such as this man. The next day, I actually saw the man.
Wow.
Yes, and we have been married now 20 years.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good for you for making that choice to follow your higher self.
It was hard.
Yeah.
Yes. And I don't think I would have had the dream if I had not made that choice.
Right.
Because you know how it is. These choices you make in your life affect you for forever.
Absolutely.
So something was happening now. So now there's this whole new situation. We're married. I get pregnant. I'm older. I have a miscarriage. And I start gaining weight at a phenomenal rate, at a pound a day, which was horrible, especially when you're newly married and you want to look cute still.
Right.
And I am not the type that goes to hypnotherapists. I'm just not that type. But I went to three doctors. Nobody could help me. The fourth doctor diagnosed it as a hormonal imbalance and said, I said, yes, so what are you going to do? He said, nothing. He said, we don't know what to do about this. This just happens sometimes. Yeah, okay. So a friend said, go to a hypnotherapist. So I went. And when I went into deep hypnotherapy and she gave me the suggestion to go to the karmic causative factor, of my hormonal imbalance, I went to my first experience on Earth. And I wasn't even a human being. I basically remembered my experience in what Edgar Cayce calls the root races. So I went on this huge, different tack. And in this time of going for hypnotherapy, because, of course, I was motivated to lose weight, and I had stopped gaining weight as soon as I came to this amazing first lifetime, my experiences in Atlantis, these spiritual guides appeared, and they said, "You must write a book." I was like, okay.
Wow.
I was like, I've always wanted to write a book, you know. And they said, well, you aren't even going to begin to lose weight till you write a book. So there was my motivation.
And we'll be right back with more from Carol Chapman here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We'll get right back into my interview with Carol Chapman.
And basically, I wrote about my experiences in these hypnotherapy sessions because what was so important about it, I had not grown up as a religious type of person.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned in these past lives, and especially through the root races, it made sense to me how a spiritual being could be connected with basically a primate body. And so it opened up a whole new world for me. It sort of validated for me that it could be possible that I could be an eternal being and actually a soul. And my husband and I went to Yucatan, and I saw images there in the ancient Mayan ruins of my memories. And then later, after my first book was getting ready to be published, my editor and I went to Egypt. And I found more in the Pharaoh's tombs, these paintings that were just like paintings of what I'd experienced. So I started to realize that this is important to share with people. So my first book was called The Golden Ones, and they are people who have reincarnated from Atlantis with the purpose of helping this world during this time that's very much like Atlantis. And it was revised and became When We Were Gods. And then the story of my travel, so that had the travel to Yucatan. And then the next book was Arrival of the Gods in Egypt. And then that was the trip to Egypt. And then by now, people were asking me to speak. And they were asking me to speak almost immediately, almost as soon as you have a book. Somebody comes to your door and says, "We've got a Rotary meeting coming. I hear you have a book. Can you speak?" And
I'm like, "Well, I hope you wanted to be a speaker."
Well, I was terrified. People are. And it was my neighbor. And I said, "You know, I'm going to be speaking about reincarnation." He said, "I don't care. It's my turn. I need to have a speaker. If you would do it, you would help me." I was like, "What the heck?" So, and that was the beginning. And so I spoke, and unbelievably, in my very conservative, small southern town, after I spoke, numerous people crowded around, started talking about their dreams, started talking about past life memories, bought books. And I was like, okay, there are people everywhere who want to hear this. So it was an eye-opener. And as I was speaking, I talked an awful lot about these special prayers I had learned from Everett Harian. And people love those prayers. So I decided, they in fact asked me to do something about, write a book about them. So I wrote that book, and it's called Have Your Heart's Desire.
For those who may not be familiar, who exactly is J. Everett Harian?
J. Everett Harian was this wonderful man who used to work and be associated with Edgar Cayce's ARE in Virginia Beach. He was actually brought there to be the controller. He was a chartered public accountant, and he was from Texas, and he truly was like a pixie of a man. He had a pointed chin. He always wore a bolero tie, and he was a very kind man. And even though he worked as an accountant, he also had you could come and talk to him about your dreams or about anything that was on your mind. Somehow a friend of mine went to talk to him about interpreting dreams, was absolutely amazed because Everett was also psychic. And in fact, Everett was to me, by now, of course, Edgar Cayce had passed. I had met Gladys Turner, and to me, Everett personified Edgar Cayce. He was a warm, kind, psychic, wise person. And I used to go up to this sunny office he had in the old building on the hill, and we could talk about just about anything. And at one point, I was going through a rough spot in my life. This is when I was still married to my first husband, and we were obviously getting a divorce. I was very angry, and he said to me, "I want you to be thankful for everything in your life." And he said, "I want you to pray this prayer." And it made such a difference in my life, such a difference in my life. He had two main prayers. One was called the forgiveness prayer, and the other one, I don't know if he called it this, but I called it the manifestation prayer. And actually, when I used that manifestation prayer, remember I told you I had first met my second husband in a dream. Well, the problem had been that he had not met me in a dream. And even though I was pretty much besotted by him because he was the man of my dreams, he was at my work. I used to work at NASA. I was a photojournalist for their Office of Public Affairs. And there were thousands of men there, and he would turn up every once in a while. But it wasn't as if he knew that I was someone special. So I did a manifestation prayer in which I thanked God in the name of Jesus Christ that I was, that I had found my twin soul. And these prayers you have to pray for 40 days. And if you miss a day, you have to start again. So, of course, I missed the 22nd day, so I had to start all over again.
Of course.
And Everett said, nothing will happen until the 39th or 40th or 41st day. And on the 39th day, I literally ran into this man I dreamt about. And this time, he noticed me because I really ran into him. I was running around a big pillar at lunch hour, and because I was late for a photo shoot, and just ran right into his chest, and he grabbed me and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Oh my God, it's him." So
I'm great.
Anyway, so this prayer was for me in lots of ways a miracle. And in fact, then he would say hi, then he asked me for lunch, then we went out on a date, you know. Then eventually we were married. And the other prayer, the forgiveness prayer, many have called it a miracle as well, a miracle prayer, because Everett originally made it to help a man who had only 6 months to live. He had terminal cancer, and this man had come to Everett and said to him, "I know I'm going to hell." And Everett said, "Why is that?" And the man said, "Well, I'm going to die soon. I'm very ill." But he said, "I did something awful to my ex-wife, and I feel that I'm going to go to hell for what I did to her." And Everett said to him, "Do you believe that we live forever?" And the man said, "Yes." So Everett said, "Do you think then that your wife would still be around in spirit level?" And the man said, "Yes." So then Everett said, "Well, okay, I'm going to go home and incubate a dream, and you come back tomorrow. We'll see what I came up with." So Everett was big into dreams. And when he came back, he gave this man this 40-day prayer. And it is a marvelous prayer in which you pray, this time not to God, but to the person that you have either hurt or that has hurt you. And again, you pray it for 40 days. If you miss a day, you have to start again. And there's a certain words that you use for this prayer, which is a little bit long to say right here. This man went on his way, and a year later, because he didn't live in Virginia Beach, he came back. Now remember, he had only 6 months to live. He came back to see Everett, and he said, "You cured me." And Everett said, "No, I didn't. You cured yourself by resolving the disease within you." And that's why it's a miracle prayer, but isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. What is the significance of the 40 days? Do you know?
Yes. The 40 days are a powerful biblical number.
Okay.
Now, you know, Edgar Cayce was very Christian. So there is a lot in the Cayce readings that refer to the Bible. So, for example, when I talked about that manifestation prayer, I said, "In the name of Jesus the Christ." Well, in my book, I've revised that because the ARE now has an international outreach, and not everybody resounds to that. And what the heck, the Christ consciousness is known by many names. So.
Right.
I have in my book said, I mean, you can pray to Buddha, you can pray to Muhammad, you can pray to nature, the universe, you can pray to the force. It's all the same thing.
Right.
Right. But the 40 days figures in both prayers. And 40 days, these are some of the times in the Bible when it comes up. For example, 40 days Noah floated on the water, on the flood, until the dove brought back a sprig to show that there was land now. David and Goliath met each other for 40 days before David finally killed the terrible giant. Jesus wandered in the wilderness for 40 days. There are just many, many references to this 40 days.
And we'll be right back with more from Carol Chapman here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We'll get right back into my interview with Carol Chapman.
And I think that's why Everett chose it, because for some reason it's an important number in the Bible.
Right. Seems to be a very spiritually charged number.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great. Was there any book in particular out of the books you've written that was maybe the funnest one for you?
Oh, that is an interesting question, because they all... I'll tell you the one that was the hardest. I can tell you that.
There you go.
And that was Arrival of the Gods in Egypt, because it was my second book. And the first book, which was originally The Golden Ones and When We Were Gods... It was so popular, I'd been invited by Art Bell for an interview, and I hadn't even asked him, you know. Somehow I got this call, and it was one of those things where he's on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast, I got the call in the middle of the night. It was, there was a lot of, vibration around it. So writing the second book, I was frightened. And that I couldn't do it as well. And so I revised it over and over again. And the first book also, there was anxiety with that book. Because especially when I hit the part about Atlantis, I actually could not write anymore. I actually broke out in hives. And I had to go back for a hypnosis session. And there I was on trial, and these spiritual guides of mine who were the Christ, Michael, and Gabriel had me on trial for pride because I had been daydreaming about how famous I was going to be with my book. And that's why I'd been stalked. And they pointed out to me that in my life, what made me happiest? And I realized over and over again, it was when I helped someone, even if that person didn't even know that I helped them, or even if that person never even acknowledged or thanked me, I felt really happy. And they took me through past lives of mine. We went back and back and back and showed me how this life, you know, I'd gone after money and what had it brought me, and this one I'd gone after fame and all this. And so it was a lesson. And I learned from that Christ, and it was both Mary and Jesus there. Casey talks about them being twin souls of the Christ consciousness. Both of them stood as my advocates. And they talked to these judges and said to them, you don't know how hard it is to be in the physical. And you've got to be more understanding of her to understand, because they had both been in the physical. So they knew how hard it was to deal with things like pride. And so they said, all right, that they would allow me to keep going. But they felt I'd learned my lesson. So then I was able to finish the book. And that book was, it was an exciting book to write. And I would say the one that was the easiest to write was the last one, Have Your Heart's Desire, because I wrote that book to help people. That was it. And I wrote it because people asked me. And in fact, it's the first in a series called Your Spiritual Awakening, because when I've been speaking and I talk about my experiences or people ask me about them, they will say, we want to learn how to meditate the way you do. We want to learn how to interpret dreams the way you do. We want to learn about these prayers. We want to learn about everything you're writing about. So this series is going to be specifically how-tos. This is how you do this, how you do that.
That's great. Very similar to the way the Search for God material came up. People just would like to know more about you and how you do what you do, which is phenomenal.
Yes, yes. And so that one was very easy to write. And in fact, I remember I was speaking at this one place in Washington, D.C., and there was quite a few people there. And the book was not actually a book yet. I had just had a manuscript. And because I was going to talk about some of the items in the book, I'd gone to Kinko's and made a spiral-bound book. I made 25 of them. And people were just lined up for it. And the book that I was using when I was speaking to refer to things, one woman came up to me. This is just in the break, the first break in the morning. She came up to me and said, they're all gone. Can I have yours? And I said, I'll give it to you when I'm finished. So it's been very popular right from the beginning.
Wow, that's great. You seem like you've had quite a bit of experience with your past lives. Is there any past life in particular that really has affected you on your personal journey?
Oh, absolutely. And it's these experiences in Atlantis. They they weren't even past lives. They were experiences in the root races. They were so shocking to me because, to begin with, when I first came to Earth, I came from Arcturus, and the hypnotherapist I saw when I came out of the hypnosis, her face looked rather shocked, and she said, I've never dealt with a first lifetime before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, because, I mean, from my point of view, I didn't know it was unusual. This was just my experience. But I had arrived, and we'd gone through a Stargate, and I was a light being. I was just soul. And so this was rather different. All of my companions were light beings as well. And we were here to look for our companions who had come before us, who had not come home. And in searching for them, I had become caught in the physical vibrations on Earth. And I didn't become a human being right away. I became what I called in my hypnosis a wisp of smoke. I looked like a genie, you know, a genie that comes out of a lamp. I sort of drifted around. It was very unusual. And Casey calls this a thought form. Thank God for the Casey readings, for Rudolf Steiner and Adam Blavatsky. Because they also, I became quite a researcher into all of this. Mm-hmm. And after this, I became what was called a mixture and could be in different bodies. My soul could sort of go into different bodies and get them in moving into their lives, just the way you might see one of those, they're sort of jugglers where they have a stick and they get a plate moving on the stick, and then they go to another stick and get a plate spinning on that stick, and then they've got like five of them. So I would get this one physical being moving and another one and another one. And my main being that I worked with was this pixie-faced frog being, and this is what Casey calls the mixtures. Mm-hmm. And he said that most people in Atlantis had tails. And so I got to experience what it was like to be that kind of being. And I actually worked in this tower where the crystal was that provided the energy for Atlantis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And all of this, you know, when I'd come out of the hypnosis sessions, I would feel crazy. You know, I remember the weirdest thing happened. I told you I'd been working at NASA, and one of my sessions, at the end of it, it said that things would be arranged for me, which I thought was very strange. And between that session and the next session, I made a mistake going down the stairs and fell down and ripped the tendons in my ankle, hurt my back, and I couldn't work. And in the next session, I was told, now you'll write the book, because I had to stay home.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, as a photojournalist at NASA, I mean, I had huge professional cameras that I'd carry around. I'm a relatively small person, but quite strong. And I'd have to carry bags up to the catwalk on top of the hangar or whatever. And so I couldn't do any of that. And now I'm home. What am I going to do? It turned out my injuries took a long time to heal. It turned out the contractor I worked for had a very generous compensation policy. I had enough money to write the book, stay home and write the book. And so what could I do? Especially since I'd been told everything will be arranged. So when I came to see Lynn the next time, I had, you know, my foot was in some kind of a splint. It was black and blue. And in that session came the really heavy root race type of thing, which afterwards, because my daughter had to drive me, I remember we went to a restaurant, and I just, over the table, I would whisper to her, and I'd say, people are going to think I'm crazy. There's no way I can tell anyone that I'm an alien from Arcturus. And she said, Mom, relax. They think you just went to a science fiction movie.
And we'll be right back with more from Carol Chapman here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. Welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. We'll get right back into my interview with Carol Chapman. Wow, what an incredible story. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's great. I understand that you'll be speaking at the New Year's Eve conference at Edgar Casey's ARE in Virginia Beach. Can you tell me a little bit about the conference and your part in it?
Yes, I certainly will, Brent. And I can assure you I'm not going to be talking about aliens. And I won't be dressed up in an alien suit or anything like that, because the New Year's Eve conference is it's just so special, because right at New Year's Eve, everyone's meditating, and what a marvelous, peaceful way and spiritually awakened way to bring in the next year. And this particular conference is called Interpreting Signs Along Your Way, Tools for Understanding, Guidance, and Discovery. And there will be sessions on different ways that the universe provides guidance to us, such as astrology, numerology, of course, dream interpretation, gemstone wisdom, and other methods, all of which we all love. Anyway, I love. I am an astrologer. I've been to numerologists, and of course, you know about dreams. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to be speaking, I think I'm the first speaker, which is going to be on Sunday. This New Year's Eve conference starts December 29th and goes to the 31st. And I'm going to be speaking on Sunday, December 29th from 7 to 9 p.m. about Have Your Heart's Desire. So I will be speaking about these miracle prayers. And I think that this talk of mine will be a very nice way to begin this conference, because Casey does say that, yes, there are all these signs, there are these ways of getting guidance, like astrology, numerology, dreams, gemstone wisdom, all this kind of stuff. But in the end, the human mind and will are stronger than anything. And so I'm going to be talking about these prayers and talking about how we can, basically by using these dreams, connect to the power of our subconscious, connect to our higher self, ask for our higher self's help and guidance in our lives. The other thing that I like about being able to talk about this at the New Year's Eve conference is that doing these 40-day prayers, starting the new year, for example, with a 40-day prayer, is a marvelous way to start with a spiritual resolution.
Right. Set an ideal for the new year, which is big in the Edgar Cayce material.
Absolutely. And the nice thing is that because it's 40 days long, and of course, if you miss a day, it could be longer than that. But it's 40 days often. The other nice thing about 40 days, it's about 6 weeks, which is about what it takes to make a new habit. So if you're involved with something that you're doing every day for 40 days, by the end of it, you would have a new habit.
Wow, that sounds great. We'll look forward to seeing you at the ARE. That's going to be a phenomenal talk.
Thank you. I think it's going to be a phenomenal conference.
And do you have any other events coming up?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I'm going to be in Charlottesville, Virginia, November 16th, and I'm going to be speaking on one of my favorite topics, of course, Atlantis and its colonies in Egypt and Yucatan.
Wow.
So, and then I'm going to be in The Villages, Florida, on January 23rd, and this is going to be a talk on Secrets of a Psychic. And we'll be talking about Edgar Cayce, of course.
Wow, fantastic. If people wanted to learn more about you, do you have a website that they could visit?
Yes. A good website for me would be my blog site. And it is carolchapmanlive.com. And that's Carol, C-A-R-O-L, C-H-A-P-M-A-N, live, L-I-V-E. com. And I have thousands of posts. I've been keeping that blog for a long time, but it's got information about my books, my movies. I'm also a filmmaker, and my upcoming events, and just lots of stuff.
I want to thank you so much for joining me on the show. You are a joy, an absolute pleasure to listen to, so thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Brand. It's been a delight to talk with you.
Now, quick thought for the day, and the thought for the day today is from reading 1449-2, and it reads,
Anyone can find fault. It is the wise person who finds that which encourages another in the turmoils and strifes of the day. And I love this because it just reminds me daily that it's so simple to just bring positivity to your world. Smiling at somebody, giving them a compliment, opening up the door for somebody. Little things go a long way. Well, that's all the time we have for the show today. I want to thank my delightful guest, Carol Chapman, for spending time with us. Don't forget to check out Carol's books entitled When We Were Gods, Arrival of the Gods in Egypt, and Have Your Heart's Desire. And of course, don't miss your chance to see Carol speaking in person. She is a featured presenter at the upcoming ARE Annual New Year's Conference. And the theme this year is Interpreting Signs Along Your Way, Tools for Understanding, Guidance, and Discovery. This runs from December 29th through the 31st here in Virginia Beach. To register for this, visit edgarcaycee.org. That's EDGARCAYCE.org. Click on Events, and then click on Conferences. Other upcoming speaking events for Carol include November 16th, 2013. This event is in Charlottesville, Virginia, and Carol will be talking on Atlantis and its colonies in Egypt and the Yucatan. Carol also has another date next year on January 23rd at the Villages, Florida, and that is on Secrets of a Psychic. You can learn more at carolchapmanlive.com. That's all one word, CarolChapmanLive.com. While on the EdgarCaycee.org website, don't miss your chance to register for our upcoming conference. It's filling up fast, and it features our favorite Casey expert and scholar, John Van Alken. The conference is on September 7th and is entitled Reincarnation, Karma, and Grace: Why Your Life Is the Way It Is and How You Can Improve It. Don't miss your chance to spend a day immersed in the Casey principles with like-minded people. A big thank you goes out to all my listeners. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook at Reflections, The Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I love to hear the feedback on the show from you guys. And until next week, I'm your host, Brenton Bickerstaff, reminding you to let no day pass that you do not speak a cheery and encouraging word to someone. What you put into the quantum universe will simply be reflected back to you daily. So remember to smile and live the smile. Have a beautiful week, everyone. Much love.